I know that some of you here have made fun of me recently for nerding out over last week's solar eclipse. Well, shame on you. It only goes to show that you don't know what you're talking about, because you've likely never even seen one. No, I'm not talking about using those protective glasses to see a partial eclipse like many here in Jackson had to do. I mean, that's sort of interesting, but quite lame compared to a total eclipse of the sun. It's like playing with Hot Wheels when you could drive a sports car. The first full eclipse I witnessed was back in 2017. I learned that if I traveled to Benton, Kentucky, about 2 hours from here, that would place me in the middle of the path of totality. So I took my two oldest children out of school, despite the principal questioning my judgment, and we headed north, unsure of what to expect. We arrived around midday and found a city park where a number of folks had already, laid out their picnic blankets and set up their lawn chairs. And so we followed suit, enjoyed our packed lunches, and then we waited. Oh, yes, we did use those glasses here and there, making note of the moon's progress, but again, not a big deal. Until it happened. Totality. Twilight at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. A glowing sunset encircles us with its 360-degree horizon. We feel the warm air cooling on our skin. We hear the birds roosting in the trees. And then we look up. No glasses needed. For behold, there is a black hole piercing the sky, crowned with a ring of fire. And everyone around us oohs and awes as all of us, strangers to one another, stand there and share a collective gasp of wonder and delight. I'm telling you, it was incredible. So needless to say, when I recently discovered that we were within driving distance of yet another total solar eclipse that would occur on April 8th of this year, well, I cleared our family's calendar. No one was going to miss this celestial event. So last Monday, we jumped in the car and drove to downtown Cape Girardeau, found our spot, set up shop, and yes, once again, we did use our eclipse glasses to note the moon's progress. No big deal. Until totality. 4 whole minutes of cosmic enchantment. A day our family will never forget. On the way up to Cape Girardeau that day, we listened to an interview of a retired astrophysicist named Fred Espenac, otherwise known as Mr. Eclipse. Back in 1970, at the age of 16, Fred saw his first total solar eclipse. And since that experience, he has been traveling the world to take in every eclipse he can possibly see. To date, he has chased down over 25 of them in places like Australia, the Sahara Desert, the Caribbean, Northern China, India, Mexico, even from an ice sheet off the coast of Antarctica, which is why he has now rightfully earned that nickname, Mr. Eclipse. In the interview, he was asked why he is so drawn to this phenomenon. What is it that inspires you to travel the world to catch a glimpse of yet another solar eclipse? To which he said, "It's because it creates a deep sense of belonging to this incredible universe. To realize just how minuscule we are, and yet we are a part of this fantastic cosmic wheel of motion." And then, a little bit later, he goes on to say that it's almost as if time stops and you're lifted up off the planet so that you can look back down and see your place in the cosmos. Now, I don't know anything about this man's faith, but it's clear to me that this repeated experience has done nothing less than to expand this man's horizons, so that no longer does he look at life through the narrow lens of what's in front of him. Now he is able to see a much larger panoramic view of reality. And this is something I believe your everyday Christian is in desperate need of. To expand our horizons to see the larger panoramic view of reality. To see that God is everywhere present in our world and that he is at work restoring all things. To see that our faith, indeed our life, has a cosmic dimension to it. That there is much more going on in our everyday lives than what we see when we look through the narrow lens of what's in front of us. My friends, this is what Easter is all about. To expand our horizons, to open up a whole new world before us, a world called new creation. And we are called not only to see and behold this larger panoramic view of life, we are called to embrace it, to live into it, to live into a world where God is everywhere present and restoring all things. From the very first pages of the Bible, we are being pushed to expand our horizons, aren't we? We are being told that this stuff around us matters. What stuff? Well, things like the sun, the moon, and the stars. And God saw that it was good. The trees, the hills, the rivers, and the lakes, God saw that it was good. The birds of the air, the fish of the sea, the wild animals of the earth, God saw that it was good. My friends, this is the stuff of God's glory. The stuff where God intends to dwell. The stuff where God is everywhere present and at work. You see, the Bible begins with a bang, a big bang, declaring this stuff matters. It's called the doctrine of creation. And if that wasn't enough to get our attention, to open our eyes to the wonder and beauty of God's world, if that wasn't enough to teach us that this stuff matters, well then, turn to the first pages of the New Testament and behold the wonder of all wonders. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. God with us in human form, God himself in the person of Jesus, becomes one of us. My friends, this is the stuff of God's glory. The stuff where God is dwelling. The stuff where God is everywhere present and at work. You see, the Bible turns a corner with a bang, a big one, declaring this stuff matters. It's called the doctrine of the incarnation. And if that wasn't enough to get our attention, to open our eyes to the wonder and beauty of God's world, if that wasn't enough to expand our horizons, well then, turn to our gospel passage this morning and behold the miracle of all miracles, the risen Jesus standing among his disciples. This can't be true. We must be seeing things. Perhaps this is a ghost. Yes, of course, a flickering hologram like Obi-Wan Kenobi. There's no way we're seeing a tangible, physical Jesus here made of real stuff. But then listen to what Jesus says to them. He says, look at my hands. Look at my feet. See that it is I myself. Touch me and see. For a ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have. And by the way, do you have anything here to eat? That's what he says. Do you see what's happening here? My friends, this is the stuff of new creation, of God's glory making his home once more among us, in this world, where God is everywhere present and at work. You see, the Bible reaches its apex with a bang, a big one, declaring this stuff matters, and it's called the doctrine of resurrection. The doctrines of creation, incarnation, resurrection, three pillars of the Christian story, screaming at us as we look at our lives through that narrow lens of what's in front of us. Screaming at us, expand your horizons, broaden your scope of vision, convert to cosmic Christianity. For God is everywhere present in our world, and He is restoring all things. Please make sure you heard that last phrase. God is restoring all things. That's exactly what the Apostle Paul says to the Ephesians. In the very first chapter, he says, God's plan for the fullness of time is to gather up all things under King Jesus. Things in heaven and things on earth. God's plan has a cosmic reach. I think too often we as Christians have a narrow view of God's presence and work in the world. I mean, yes, we say to ourselves, you know, God is somewhere up there, you know, far off on his throne, occasionally making a visit or speaking a word. Yes, I know that he works in the world, but his primary interest is in all that spiritual stuff. Save souls and forgiven sins and going to heaven. And so we go about our lives without ever actually seeing a total eclipse. We do our work, we spend our time with our family, we go on a vacation here or there. We coordinate carpool, we finish our homework, try and save some money, all good and necessary things, mind you, but a life lived with such a narrow vision. So that even when Easter comes along, we're good to shout out, Christ is risen, he is risen indeed. We pat ourselves on the back and feel good about our heavenly destination, about our forgiven sins, and we go forth into the world and try to be a good person, and there you have it. I mean, that's pretty much the gist of the Christian life. Such a narrow vision. It's interesting that that's not the vibe we get at all when we read of the lives of those first Christians. When we read those stories in Acts, the stories of that community that took shape in light of the resurrection, we just can't help but to feel that there is something much grander, much more enchanted, much more cosmic taking place. Almost like this stuff matters. All of it. Our reading today from Acts chapter 3 is one such story. The story of a speech that Peter gives a few days after Pentecost as he tries to explain to the crowd the meaning of a miraculous healing that has just taken place. A 40-year-old man, crippled from birth, is placed in his usual spot at the temple's entrance, begging for whatever money passers-by can spare. And that's when Peter walks by, looks at him intently, and says to the man, "I don't have any money, but I give you what I do have. In the name of Jesus, stand up and walk." And then the text says that Peter takes the man by the hand and, quote, raises him up. That, my friends, is resurrection language, Easter language, the language of a new world, new creation. Imagine the legs of this man, how frail and atrophied they must have been from a lifetime of disuse. Imagine what must have had to happen physically to his muscles and skin and nerves and blood vessels so that he could do what the story says that he did next. Jump to his feet, walk into the temple with Peter, and then leap up and down, praising the Lord. A scene that is meant to remind us of a promise that God makes in Isaiah 35, a promise that says, on that day, the day of your salvation, the lame shall leap like a deer. This is what Peter's speech is trying to explain. A speech that serves as a solar eclipse of sorts, meant to expand our horizons. A speech that says God is everywhere present and is restoring all things. Which is why his speech culminates with a phrase of cosmic proportions. I wonder if you caught it a moment ago when it was read. It's in verse 19. When Peter calls the crowd to repentance so that times of refreshing may come, so that God may send Jesus to them who must remain in heaven until the time of, here it is, universal restoration. That's in your Bibles. Now, that's a phrase that we don't use very often. Universal restoration. It's because we typically like words like salvation and redemption and forgiveness. Words that can easily be over-spiritualized so that they are thought to have nothing to do with the stuff of this world. But it's a lot harder to miss the cosmic horizon of God's presence and plan if you use the phrase universal restoration. That's what's going on here, Peter says. New creation, and it has a universal scope. Other translations translate the phrase this way, quote, until God makes all things new. Notice that word again, all. This is exactly how John describes it at the end of Revelation when he hears the one who is seated on the throne saying, behold, I am making all things new. Another translation puts it this way, until the time comes for God to restore everything. Isn't that great? My friends, this is cosmic. A universal restoration of all the stuff. And this vision, this total eclipse of the sun, is meant to expand our horizons so that we can see that God is everywhere present and restoring all things. I don't know about you, but I want to live that kind of life. I want to live with my horizons expanded. I want to accept Easter's invitation to live out a cosmic Christianity, to see God in every moment, every exchange, every thought and task that stand before me, no matter how big, no matter how small. I want to live my life as if all this stuff matters, even the most mundane and seemingly insignificant detail filled with the glory of God. Every relationship, an opportunity to see how God is working to restore all things. Every step, every breath, every sight I behold, a new creation with cosmic proportions. My friends, whether you witnessed last week's total solar eclipse or not, a life with expanded horizons is available to you because, alleluia, Christ is risen. Heavenly Father, you have filled the world with beauty and wonder. Expand our horizons to behold your loving presence in all things, your gracious hand in all your works. That rejoicing in your whole creation, we may learn to serve you with gladness in things both big and small. For the sake of him through whom all things were made, your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.